We talked on Central Time earlier this week about public schools and school choice coming out of Governor Evers' State of the State address. One of the education issues Evers raised in that speech and early in it was reading proficiency in Wisconsin schools.
We're going to make targeted investments to improve reading and literacy outcomes and expand financial literacy curriculum across our state. We're going to invest $20 million to increase literacy-related programming and implement evidence-based reading practices across Wisconsin.
What do you make of reading and literacy proficiency in Wisconsin? Are you a teacher, a parent, a grandparent, even a kid? What are you seeing and what are you hearing? What are you teaching? What's working and what isn't? Join us, 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us, ideas@WPR.org. Our guest, Mark Seidenberg, is a Vilas Professor Emeritus of Psychology at UW-Madison. And Mark, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks.
You research how children acquire reading skills, as well as how the science of reading can help improve educational outcomes. And as somebody who studies this stuff, what was your takeaway from the governor's State of the State address this week?
Well, I was really glad to see him addressing the issue and pledging to do something about it. The one thing that's agreed, there's a lot of agreement about in Wisconsin among across party lines and among different participants in this area is that Wisconsin has a reading literacy problem. We don't have enough kids who are succeeding at becoming good readers, and that's a bad thing. So he's been trying to do a lot of things about that during his term as governor and before that at DPI, and I hope he's successful. The question is, how can he be successful given the lack of cooperation that he's had and the lack of cooperation across the aisle that exists?
So there is a politics of reading in Wisconsin. And we had a guest on earlier this week who said that, you know, the part of the problem is we haven't stuck with a solution, that there seems to be a political pendulum that swings back and forth, and literacy, children's literacy, can get caught in the middle of it.
I think that the literacy situation is really just one huge example of how dysfunctional our state government is. I've been here since 2001. I've testified in the state house many times. There have been legislation proposed over the years, none of which actually passed, because we just couldn't get the two parties pulling in the same direction. The last time I testified, which was in 2020, about bills that would address dyslexia and early screening for kids who are at risk for dyslexia, and then addressing the issues that arise for such kids when they're identified, sank because when I testified, the discussion was entirely about politics, and it was not even about the need for this kind of screening or why it was so important to be doing here. So really, if the governor has to go to the legislature for approval for his plans, that's going to be a problem. If he can find a way to spend it on get around that or get the cooperation of the relevant parties, great, because there's a lot that needs to be done.
Mark Seidenberg, are there science of reading laws on the books elsewhere that you've seen that have been that work on behalf of the kids?
They're called science of reading. There's laws. There are laws that are many states, more than 40 at this point, have passed legislation to deal with our literacy crisis in this country. The fact that we're doing such a poor job teaching kids to read, especially among low-income kids and minority kids, but not exclusively. Many states are passing legislation, and I think this legislation is really an expression of exhaustion, of desperation, because the educational establishment has not responded to concerns over the several decades that they have been raised. So states are passing legislation that stipulate what can be taught, how to teach reading, what kind of curricula, which curricula products can be used, and so on. This is a pretty heavy-handed approach, but it's at least forcing the issue. Wisconsin's done nothing on this, and yes, there's a lot that can be learned from what's going on in other states, and Wisconsin has really fallen behind and pretty far.
So how do we get ahead? What's the move forward? What's the steps to take?
Oh, there's so much that could be done if the spirits were only willing. what usually happens is that when money is available or allocated to us, that it's spent on things like commercial curricula, which are the textbooks in the classroom, which are produced by big publishers, and this is a multi-billion-dollar industry, and the textbooks are actually a part of the problem. But nonetheless, one thing that will be done is sort of virtue signaling. You buy the big flashy textbooks and you say, well, see, we're doing something about reading. The solution isn't in the textbooks. It's also not in building the new building. So the other thing that comes up is that people will construct new buildings. So Michael Bloomberg has just announced a new initiative to spend some large number of millions of dollars on building new schools in various states. It's not the schools and it's not the textbooks that are the problem. The problem is what's going on in the classroom to ensure that kids are able to learn to read, get the experiences that will allow them to succeed. Instead of buying the books or building the buildings, we could invest in helping teachers to do the best job they can. And, you know, giving teachers more tools to be more effective in instruction would have a vast impact. So, you know, support the teachers. And there's a variety of ways that could be done.
Mark Seidenberg, our guest, not just Professor Emeritus at UW-Madison, but also the author of Language at the Speed of Sight, how we read, why so many can't, and what can be done about it. And when we spoke earlier this week about the topic, Mark, one of the things that came up is everybody learns to read a little bit differently. And I wonder on you how you see that and how a classroom can benefit a child in helping that.
I think that's basically not true. It's basically an excuse. Look, people's brains are really similar. There's only a couple of kinds of ways that brains learn. We know a lot about them. I've taught and written about them, studied them. And essentially, you know, leaving aside cases of developmental injuries or serious conditions, disabilities, people learn to read essentially the same way. What differs is the kinds of experiences they have. Some have more that are relevant to actually learning about language, learning about print, learning about the world, which are the main things that children need in order to get off the ground. So the experiences vary, but the way people learn is the same. And so the idea that you have to do something different for every snowflake, because, you know, the way that we learn to read is everyone learns to read differently, I think that's really not accurate. In fact, there are certain core things that everybody needs to get and need to be focused on and as effectively as possible.
Are part of our reading outcomes not necessarily dependent on the classroom, but outside the classroom then?
Absolutely. But, you know, it's both, of course. So one thing that has an impact, of course, is socioeconomic status, people's economic circumstances. Another thing that's well established from a lot of different studies is race, ethnicity, basically your some things about race and cultural background, which I've studied myself. And those things then combine in really powerful ways. So yes, of course, things outside the classroom matter. Unfortunately, for poor kids, what happens in the school matters a lot because the same resources may not exist in the home or community. And so, you know, public education really needs to do well with those folks because of the lack of resources that they otherwise have. What we're doing is exactly the opposite. We're doing so poorly in teaching kids to read that middle-class parents know that they can't rely on the schools to do all the teaching. They have to either do it at home themselves or they have to send their kid to a tutor, send them to a learning center, buy some software or use a computer or do something to actually supplement what's going on in the school. I think every parent realizes that they have to do something, be involved actively, almost as, you know, homeschoolers because they can't just rely on what's happening in the school. Well, those extra activities and going paying for the tutor and so on require a certain kind of resources, and therefore the current situation is just magnifying the impact of socioeconomic differences. We're doing really poorly by making kids worse than they have to be.
We're talking with psychology professor emeritus Mark Seidenberg from UW-Madison, looking at challenges and opportunities around teaching reading in Wisconsin schools. And we want to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234, and we will get to your calls. What questions do you have for our expert? Anything we've left out of this conversation that you want to bring to the fore? Please do, 1-800-642-1234, or email us ideas@WPR.org. Your calls when we continue here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're picking up the conversation with Mark Seidenberg, professor emeritus of psychology at UW-Madison, where he researches language acquisition and reading learning, also the author of Language at the Speed of Sight, How We Read, Why So Many Can't, and What Can Be Done About It. And we're talking about improving reading performances in Wisconsin schools after Governor Tony Evers highlighted the issue in his State of the State speech earlier this week. And we want to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. Before we get back to my questions, let's take some of yours. We'll start with Ann and Amory this afternoon. Ann, good afternoon.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a senior citizen, and I would love to go in and help kids read. That's very near and dear to my heart, and I bet there's a lot of other older adults that would do the very same thing. We had that program years ago here in Amory where adults could go in and help kids. And I'm just wondering if that could be done again.
Let's ask Mark Seidenberg. I think my mom would probably have the same question, Mark.
That's a great question. So Wisconsin has had those kind of programs intermittently, not very systematically. Where they've done it really well is in Minnesota. Our friends, the Minnesota Reading Corps, which in fact brings retirees and other capable people into schools to help supplement what is going on in the classroom. Being able to spend additional one-on-one time with kids is really highly effective. So yes, there's a huge pool of resources. AmeriCorps does this. It's just not being done in a very systematic way and or funded in a continuous manner. But I think it's a great thing, and it's underutilized here in Wisconsin.
Continuing your questions for our guest, Mark Seidenberg, at 1-800-642-1234. Let's go to Dave and Toma next. Dave, good afternoon.
Yeah, hi. I almost think even listening to this guy, and this guy sounds like he's smart, he knows what he's talking about, but we've got things backwards now. People used to fight and sneak around and beg for a good education. And now everybody takes it for granted. And if their kid doesn't know something, it's all the school's fault. And I think we should have a program out there that advertises, instead of wasting all this energy saying it's the school's fault, saying, hey, this is a free benefit for everybody. And this is to help you and help you and your kids get ahead and do better than you did. You know, we should be taking advantage of it. And it's a wonderful benefit. And people don't look at it as a benefit anymore.
Thank you, Dave. Are we putting too much blame on teachers in the school system, Mark?
We are. I mean, you know, it's unfortunate. Of course, we're blaming the teachers. I myself go out of my way not to blame the teachers, but I do blame the people who teach the teachers because, you know, my class, what I documented in the book was that teachers aren't adequately prepared for teaching in Wisconsin and throughout the country. This is now pretty widely accepted, and people in various states are taking steps to try to rectify the situation. However, yes, we blame the teachers. The goal would be to give teachers the tools that they need to be able to do the jobs they want to do and succeed. You know, the teachers aren't going into the field to struggle to teach reading, but they are on the first day of the teachers get hired for the job, and on the first day, they are at sea. They have to learn how to teach reading because they weren't taught the relevant stuff as part of their undergraduate education. We need to modify the programs in schools like UW, with Madison, and other campuses so that teachers are getting adequate training. I don't think the listener was quite right, because I think parents are avidly interested in having children who read. And, you know, it is that the parents are not experts about classrooms or education or learning. We rely on schools to have people who know what they're doing, who have professional skills. And what we're talking about is trying to improve them so that more kids succeed.
We started this conversation with Governor Tony Evers' State of the State address and his call for spending more money specifically on dealing with reading achievement in Wisconsin. Mark, if we gave you the state's purse strings here, how would you spend some of that money?
Well, the first thing is I would not spend it on new curricula, these commercial curricula from the big publishers. The solution is not in those products. There is no magic there. In fact, historically, they've been part of the problem. So just don't buy a new... Don't spend the money for the sake of spending it on these books. I have two suggestions. One is who's going to go into the teaching profession? We've made it into a profession in which people get blamed. Teachers were demonized in this state, you know, in the Walker administration with various things that we all remember. And people complain about the cost of higher education. So my suggestion is through some combination of government and private philanthropy, find a way to provide full scholarships for people who go into teaching on the condition that they stay in the field at least 5 years or 7 years. We would attract people and we would have additional time perhaps to give them good educations because they don't have to worry about paying for their college and rushing to get out. So I think scholarships for future teachers that allow them to graduate debt-free with a commitment to stay in the schools and be, you know, and obtain additional in-service support would be really, really a game changer. The other thing is we're all focused on what happens to kids in schools. But, you know, the die is cast a little earlier than that. All the things that lead up to school really have a huge impact. In particular, there's a lot of variability in what children learn about language, and there's a lot of variability in what they learn about the world, the things we use language to talk about. So on the first day of school, there are already a lot of kids who are behind, and it's really hard to catch up. So we need to have pre-K programs we don't need we need better pre-K programs, and there's a lot that can be done in the pre-K year or year and a half. It's not starting to teach reading earlier. That's not the point. That's not going to be helpful. What could be done is exposing the kid to a broader range of uses of language, vocabulary, words that we use to talk about subjects like animals and dinosaurs and where people live in different parts of the world. So pre-K, experiences of children before they even get to school that reading builds on, that's where kids are behind, and that's where we could do a huge amount. And I don't see that happening, and it frustrates me a great deal.
What's your position on standardized testing and the assessments that's done so we can find out where kids are at in their reading abilities?
Well, we had a period in which they were overused and they were really clumsy. There's a difference between that kind of testing that you're referring to. There's a difference between that and, you can do short assessments just to track kids' progress, which is actually much easier to do now with software. That we also buy. It's not the standardized testing, you know, the data that tell us how well kids are doing, like on the NAEP in reading, are very important. They're just giving us information about how we're doing. The standardized testing that was intended to say, you know, kids have to reach a certain level on the test before being allowed to move forward or something like that, that was really not working out. That was a mistake. What you need are quick and non-intrusive assessments that track the real skills, progress on the real skills that underlie reading. That I'm all for, and software technology can be used to make that happen.
Mark Seidenberg, our guest, professor emeritus at UW-Madison. And before we run out of time here with just a couple minutes left, I want to mention that you'll be taking part in a summit on early literacy from the Tommy Thompson Center on Public Leadership. It's coming up February 8th in Madison. Why is this important, Mark?
Well, the people at the Thompson Center have brought in several of us who have been working on these issues for a number of years now, several years now, and in states across the country. So we have a lot of experience with what's happening elsewhere and the kinds of things that work and don't work. Emily Hanford will be there. She's done a very influential series of audio documentaries on American public media that really have turned people's heads and opened their eyes about the literacy crisis in this country. She'll be there. I'll be there to talk about research and ways to connect the research to practice. Kimiana Burke, who has been involved in an effort in Mississippi and Arkansas and a number of other states to raise literacy among the poorest of kids, will also be there. She's a powerhouse. And our own Donna Heidmanic, who was a teacher in Wisconsin and Illinois schools for 40 years and then started a group on Facebook called The Science of Reading, What I Should Have Learned in College, which now has almost 200,000.
Hey, Mark, I want to thank you for joining us this afternoon.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Mark Seidenberg, professor emeritus at UW-Madison, also the author of Language at the Speed of Sight.